everybody. I remember now, this is virtual weekend. For those who don't know, we don't have service between Christmas and New Year's. This is a chance to say thank you to our volunteers and for our staff for all the hard work they've done during the Christmas season. And what an incredible Christmas season it was. Thank you for bringing your friends. Thank you for coming yourself. Thanks for watching on TV and online. We appreciate you so much. We're grateful that you're a part of the Sagebrush family. So whether you're watching this right now from your living room, or maybe you're at a coffee shop, maybe you're a lucky dog and you're still in bed. Some of you might be listening to me right now as you're working out. I'm glad that you're here with us. I want you to sit back and relax and prepare your hearts for what God has to reveal to us today. Welcome to Virtual Weekend at Sagebrush. Let me start off by telling you a story. One afternoon, a man came home from work to find his house in a complete mess. His three children were outside, still in their pajamas. They were playing in mud with empty food boxes and wrappers all around the front yard. Well, as he walked into the entryway, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over. There was a throw rug that was wadded up against one wall. In the front room, the TV was turned all the way up, and the family room was covered with toys and clothes. Well, a guy walks in the kitchen looking for his wife, and in the kitchen, he finds dishes filling the sink. Breakfast food is spilled on the counter. Dog food is spilled all over the floor, and there's a broken glass laying under the table. Well, he's looking for his wife, and he begins to panic. He doesn't understand what's going on, so he heads up the stairs. He's stepping over toys and more piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried that maybe she was ill, or maybe something more serious had happened to her. Well, he found her in their bedroom, still curled up in her bed, in her pajamas, reading a book, eating bonbons and Fritos. She looked up at him, and she smiled, and she said, "How was your day, dear?" Well, he looked at her and said, "What happened here today?" She smiled again. She said, "You know, every day when you come home from work and you ask me what in the world did I do today, today I didn't do it." Friends, we live in a very stressed out and overcommitted world. We seek to maximize our life like some people try to maximize their cars. Let me show you what I mean. I mean, those are hilarious. What in the world are those people thinking, maximizing their vehicles in that way? Those are stupid funny. But it's not so funny when we try to do this with our lives. We have become a society of people that's running over here and running over there. It's interesting, isn't it? But our lives are full of activity. I mean, come on. If you look at your little calendar boxes or you look on your smartphone, let me tell you something. You're living a full life. You're living a busy life. But most people who live a busy life, guess what? Their souls are parched and they feel an emptiness inside of them. I mean, too many of us are ending our days absolutely exhausted. How many times have you laid in bed and wondered, do I even have the strength to keep this up? I mean, is this what life is all about? And you have to have asked yourself at some point in time, is this even worth it? I mean, is what I'm giving my one shot at life to even gonna matter in the end? Do you know what's so sad? Is many of us are just too tired to even think about those things. We don't make time to reflect and contemplate as to what we're giving our one and only shot at life to. And then we wonder why we're so frustrated living the way that we're living. Well, as a result of all this, if we're honest, too many of us end up spending too much time on 10th-rate stuff and not enough time on the things that actually matter. We end up giving our one and only shot at life to the things that in the end don't count at all. So here's my question. Are you sick of it? Are you sick of living this way? Because if you're not sick of it, I'm okay with that. I mean, you can do what everybody else is doing. You can have activity for activity's sake. You can keep running over here and running over there and setting this goal and setting that goal and sacrifice your sanity if that's what you choose to do. And here's the sad thing. A lot of people choose to do that. You can keep going if you want. That's what you want to do. Keep going. Keep going until you're overwhelmed with anxiety and exhaustion. You can get to the end of your life and look back and realize that the things that really mattered, well, you didn't do them. You don't really have a relationship with God like you like to because you never really cultivated it. And your relationship with your family and friends, well, you can look at those things and realize you didn't take care of those either. You can be here today watching and feel like God's a million miles away because you never took the time to draw close to him. And your kids are off doing their life, and since you were never around for them, now they're not around for you. Now, I don't think anyone in their right minds wants any of that. So we have to stop the madness. But is that even possible? Can we change when this is all we've ever known? Can a person actually declutter their life and learn to say no to lesser pursuits so they can spend time on what really matters? The good news is yes, it is possible. The bad news is it won't be easy. Breaking a bad habit's hard and it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to go back to the same old, same old. A person who wants to leverage their life for what matters has to ruthlessly say no to that which doesn't matter. And that's not easy to do, especially if you're a people pleaser. You ever heard the phrase, God has a wonderful plan for your life? And that's true, isn't it? But do you know what else is true? Everyone else has a wonderful plan for your life. And you've got to decide if you want to be led by God or led by your need to be needed. So I want to help you with that. So how do we pull this off? How do we put our lives on the things that really matter and really count? Well, the first thing is this. You have to start with the end in mind. A very wise person once said, we all need to make major decisions in a cemetery. You know what? I think that's some pretty good advice, don't you? Because cemeteries are the ultimate wake-up call that life is precious and that time is short and that life on this earth is limited. So we need to be careful how we spend every second of time because death is coming. I remember as a kid a poem my dad told me that scared the spit out of me. This is what he said. Did you ever think when the hearse rolled by that you would be the next to die? They'll wrap you up in a nice clean sheet. They'll put you down about 6 feet deep. And all will go well for about a week. And then your coffin will begin to leak. The worms will then crawl in and begin to eat. Then he kissed me on the forehead, said, good night, son. Sweet dreams. You think I slept that night? I did not. Aren't you glad you tuned in today? We're going to talk about death. We're all going to die. But nobody wants to talk about it, right? You don't really tune into something that talks about death. Makes us uncomfortable. We don't want to talk about death unless you're over 60 years old, and then it's pretty much all you talk about. Did you hear about so-and-so the other day? Oh, man, that was tragic right there. For the most part, we don't talk about death. We want to talk about life because we like life. We play a game called life. We have life insurance. One of the most popular cereals right now is a cereal called Life. I don't think they'll ever try to sell a cereal called Death, do you? Let me think for a second. What should I have this morning for breakfast? I know. I think I'll have a big heaping bowl of death. Truth be told, death scares us, so we do a lot to avoid it. We pump the pecs and we step on the stair stepper. We pass on the sugar and pass on the salt. I know that's what I'm doing, but death is coming. So the question is, what do you want to be remembered for? I find it interesting, but most people take a long time to die. I mean, there are those who die suddenly. There's accidents, heart attacks, unfortunately, shootings. But chances are, at the end of your life, you'll die in bed, waiting. Imagine yourself there for a moment. Questions will pop into your head. What did my life add up to? Did I really matter? What did I live for? Who will remember me? What will they say about me when I'm gone? Why was it even important that I existed in the first place? So many questions. So much time. Will you lie there with no regrets, some regrets, or nothing but regrets? Imagine it, or not. I mean, you probably have time to think about it when you get to that bed, right? So you can wait to think about those questions, and millions of people do. But won't it be too late then? I mean, at that point in time, in that bed, you won't have the ability to change how the story ends. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Let me tell you a truth about life. Everybody ends up somewhere, but very few people end up somewhere on purpose. You see, great marriages don't happen by accident, do they? Being financially free doesn't happen by accident. And living a life that counts, well, guess what? That doesn't happen by accident as well. You gotta want it. You gotta be intentional. And you have to start with the end in mind. If we don't start with the end in mind, we end up living from day to day, filling our schedules that don't lead us to a great marriage, a great family, or even a great life that counts, because we never slowed down long enough and ask ourselves if what we were given our life to matters in the end. Come on, you know the routine. You do the same old routine every single day. You get up at the same old time. You get out of the same old bed. You look at yourself in the same old mirror and you get in that same old shower. You dry off with the same old towel. Then you put on the same old clothes. You walk down to the same old kitchen for that same old breakfast. You kiss your same old wife goodbye. Then you get in the same old car and you drive to the same old route to the same old job. You listen to the same old boss tell the same old stupid stories. Then you get back in your car and you drive back to your house to the same old place and sit down for the same old dinner. You get in your same old recliner. You watch the same old television show. Eventually, you get out of that recliner, don't you? You go to the bedroom. You get in that same old bedroom. You ask your wife that same old question and she gives you the same old answer. Then you roll over, you set the alarm clock, and you do it all over again. Day after day after day. Just get by, pay the bills, stay married, drive the kids from this practice to that practice, this game, that event. No dream, no adventure, no vision. And as a result, you die a little bit more every single day. Is that what life's about? No. Start with the end in mind. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. The Bible says, be careful how you live. Make certain you don't waste a single second. Psalm 119, verse 37 says, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Life's about making value decisions every single day. We have to constantly choose what is the best use of our time based on the things that we say are important in our life. Kyle Eidelman says, imagine you're driving around on a Saturday morning through the neighborhood and you see that one of the neighbors is having a garage sale. Well, you're not a big garage sale person. I'm not either. But the sign kind of catches your eye because it says everything is a dollar. It's like the dollar store has shown up in your neighborhood. And you just happen to remember that you have a dollar in your pocket. That's all the cash that you carry because all you got's a dollar. But it's not a bad way to spend a Saturday morning, kind of entertaining. You think to yourself, let me stop in here. Let's see how much I can get for a dollar. So you walk up to this garage sale, and the first thing you see is some candy. Now, candy, that's always a good time. Got some M&Ms right here. For a lot of you, you would like to have the M&Ms for a dollar. These M&Ms, not so much for me. These are milk chocolate. If these were peanut M&Ms or peanut butter M&Ms, I think I'd be more tempted to spend my dollar on that. Well, even though it costs, you know, about a little more than it does in the store to buy a package of M&Ms, you are willing to pay a dollar for them because you're hungry and you have a little bit of a sweet tooth. You're about ready to pay for them. You're ready to pull that dollar out and pay for those M&Ms. When you think to yourself, now, wait a second, this was going to be a lot of fun. I need to be careful how I send this dollar. So you put the M&Ms back and you say, I think I'm going to look around a little bit more. So you walk over to the clothing area in the garage sale and you're flipping through the clothes and they look a little bit dated, but some of them are pretty good. And there's some clear name brands there and you know the material seems to be okay. You think, well, for a dollar, I mean, just a dollar, that's a pretty good deal. Get a shirt, pair of pants for a dollar. You're about ready to buy the clothes, and you think, well, I need to make the most of this dollar. Just need to be careful I'm not missing something more. So you continue to walk around, and you look at the different things, and you look inside this box, and it's full of costume jewelry. Just really cheap stuff, you know. You wouldn't pay much for it. But then something catches your eye. It's a diamond ring. And it's not just any kind of diamond ring. It's a big diamond ring. And you ask the guy, you say, is everything a dollar? He says, everything's a dollar. You say, this ring? He says, yeah, this ring, it's a dollar. You say, well, I'll take it. I like the way this ring looks. So you buy the ring for a dollar. And you think to yourself on the way home, you know, that was a good looking ring. Wonder what it's worth. So you go down to your local jeweler and you ask them, will they appraise it for you? And they explain to you that the center stone in that ring is 6.5 carats, that it's a real deal diamond ring, and there are 4 carats of smaller diamonds on each side, and it has a platinum setting. The ring, they tell you, is worth over $100,000. You just bought a $100,000 ring for a dollar. For a moment, you realize, I could be eating M&Ms right now. However, you were careful. You had only a dollar, and you made the most of it. That's what this phrase here is getting at. All of us, every day of our lives, we're going shopping. We have 24 hours because tomorrow is not assured. All you have is this moment in time. So Paul says, be careful. Make the most of the time that you have. Redeem the time. I love Psalm 90. It says, teach us to number our days, Lord, so we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 39 says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Paul's saying every moment, every conversation, every chance encounter, every day at work is a diamond opportunity. So make the most of it. Don't waste your life. I've come to the conclusion that there are some things that just aren't worth my time. Years ago, I had grass at my house. Now, coming from the Midwest and not having grass seemed insane, but have you tried to grow grass in the desert? It is not easy. It is absolutely brutal. You got grubs. You got bugs. You got to water that grass every single day. And the weeds, oh my goodness, the weeds are crazy. And in my neighborhood, we also have rabbits. So they come in there and they eat your grass. I read one day on the internet that if you take your urine and you outlined your grass in your urine, that rabbits wouldn't cross over it. Now, this is humiliating and embarrassing at the same time. I used to pee in mason jars and pour my urine around the outside of my grass. But here's the funny thing. All that did was attract more rabbits. I used to spend so much time on my lawn because I wanted to have the greenest lawn on the block, which, to be honest with you, isn't that hard because most people don't have any grass. Well, one day it occurred to me, I don't have to have the greenest lawn on the block. As a matter of fact, I don't have to have a lawn at all. So you know what I did? I xeriscaped. And the day they drove my lawnmower away was one of the happiest days of my life. I can still remember it. And it still brings tears to my eyes. Let me give you another one you can win at. At Christmas time, I don't have to light up the world with the lights I place on the outside of my house. Oh, we do some nice decorations on the house, but I've come to the point where I believe that it's okay for you to win that one too. I mean, look at what people do to their homes. Where do they have the time? And where do they have the storage for all that stuff? Listen, you can win that one too. I'm not going to stress about that stuff, because when I breathe my last breath on this earth, I'm not going to regret the fact that I didn't put enough Christmas lights on my house. What will matter is my relationship with my wife. Did I love her? Did I hold her enough? Did I cherish the gift that she is to me every single day? Did I love my kids? Did they know how much I cared for them and how I wanted nothing but the very best for them? Did I give enough of myself to them? Was I fully present for them? Did I love people? Did I help people grow in their relationship with Jesus? Did I challenge people enough, encourage people enough? Did I love God with all that I had? Did I love Him with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength? Did I leverage my talent, my time, and my treasure to advancing His kingdom? Or did I hoard this stuff when He wanted me to give it away? Because when I breathe my last breath, that's all that's going to matter to me, and that's all that's going to matter to Him. So start with the end in mind. There's a little test that I take from time to time in my head when I start to get all stressed out. I call the test, will I care or remember test. It's eliminated a lot of stupid things that we get all worked up about. Here's how it works. Will I care or remember 10 years from now who drove the coolest car? I can already tell you, I don't care, and I don't remember 10 years ago who was driving what car. Let me give you another one. Will I care or remember who wore the nicest clothes? Because some of you are walking into your closet going, what am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? It doesn't matter. Just wear something, right? Will it matter? Will I remember or will it matter whose kid was better in hula hoop? Okay, that was my kid. I will remember that one. At the end of my life, what do I want to be able to look back upon and say I've accomplished? Let me ask you this one. If a list of adjectives were compiled to describe your life, what words would you want on that list? Here's what you got to ask yourself. What is of vital importance to me? What has some importance to me? And what is a complete waste of my time? Here's the toughest one. If you do this one, it's going to change the whole trajectory of your life. If you have kids, this will blow you away. You ready? If I were to write a letter to my children about what is important in my life, what would I tell them? I don't know any question that helps us clarify this issue more than that question. What's going to last? And once we start with the end in mind and figure out that these things matter, then we ruthlessly eliminate from our schedules the stuff that doesn't matter at all, and then we focus with red-hot intensity on the things that do. We learn to seize the day. Wayne Cordero, in his book, Leading on Empty, encourages us to discover and discern what the top 5% of our life is. He says basically that 85% of what we do, anybody can do. Email, answering messages, attending meetings, etc. He said 10% of what we do, someone with a little bit of training, well, they can learn to do that as well. He says, really, there's only 5% of what only you can do, only what I can do. And this 5% is the most important 5% of our life. Wayne said, understanding that caused him to rethink what was most important to himself and to look again at what God had asked of him to do with his life. So Wayne asked himself one question. What are the things that only I can do? Now, I thought long and hard about that. And here are some things that I wrote down for myself. I am responsible to have a close and intimate relationship with Jesus. Guess what? Nobody else can do that for me. That's on me. It's a personal relationship with Jesus. Let me give you another one. I'm responsible for having a marriage that thrives and not just survives. It's my job to show up. It's my job to be there for her. It's my job to love her in a way in which she's never been loved before. I'm also responsible to be the dad that my kids need me to be. I'm responsible to help them grow spiritually and grow close to each other. I'm responsible for leveraging my life for eternal purposes. I want my life to count. I want to leave an impact on the lives of others, and I know I'm not alone. I'm also responsible for exercise and for eating healthy and having healthy habits so that I don't go tired in the race of life. I'm also responsible to take time to have some fun and enjoy my life with my family and with my friends. Wayne says, whatever that top 5% is for you, it requires a daily investment of our time and our energy. So we can't afford to waste our life on things that others can do and spend so little time on the things that no one else can do but us. This principle will give you the strength to say no to what others think our life should be about. It'll help us to realize that if we say yes to everyone's request, then we're saying no to God's best. And we don't want to do that, friends, because if you end up saying no to God's best, you're going to suffer for it. And so will those that we care about. So we have to make certain that we live our lives according to the things that God wants us to live our life for. So we start with the end in mind, and we seize this day. I've shared this story before, but it was such a watershed moment for me. I remember when I was 15 years old, I had just decided to go into the ministry. And after church, my mom and dad, we went to the Red Lobster for lunch. My dad sat across the table from me, and he said, "Son, I've been an electrician for 40 years, and all that I've wired and all that I've rewired will one day be torn down. Everything I did to make a living will be gone." It was good, but it was temporary. And then he said, "Son, what I've done with you and with your mom, the things we've done in the church, the people we've influenced for Jesus, those things will last forever." He said, "Don't spend your life, son, on lesser pursuits. Only three things last forever: God, His Word, and people's souls. Give your life, son, to those three things." Those wise words from my dad changed the entire course of my life. Maybe it'll change the entire course of your life too. Get rid of all the dumb stuff and be smart. Love God and love others. And use whatever God has given you to advance the kingdom of God. Cultivate those things, and you'll get to the end of your life and know that you did life well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to seize the day. Help us to evaluate what is important, to eliminate what isn't important. Lord, don't let us just chase the wind. Don't let us give our one shot at life to things that don't matter, to lesser pursuits, and then miss out on loving you and loving others. Because, Lord, I believe with all my heart, when we get to the very end, that's all that's going to matter. Did we love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength? Did we love our neighbor as ourself? Were we there for our families? Were we there for our friends? Everything else just passes away. Everything else is temporary. But Lord, you and your word and people's souls, they last forever. Help us to realign our lives, to have those things be the centerpieces of what we're about. Lord, help us to live a life that is so well lived that one day you look at us and you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.